Amen. Am I the only one that loves Joel? I just love Joel. Amen. Man, I usually don't get nervous when I'm public speaking, but you guys, seriously, like 98% of everyone that is important to me is in this room. It's, you guys are honestly my family. I love you too, Pastor Paul. So without further ado, I lost my place in my notebook. Without further ado, let's just get started into it. Joel, 2 weeks ago, talked about being born again or renewed in the Spirit. Isaac talked about baby fresh. Let me hear it. 1, 2, 3. Baby fresh. Amen. And I just love the fact that the Holy Spirit worked through me, or worked through Joel and Isaac and me, to kind of create this own like little teaching. What's the word I'm looking for? This own like series. Thank you. This own series. This own like three part. We never planned it out, but my sermon today is called Baby Steps.
Oh.
Woo.
Yeah.
So I love that Duck Dynasty daughter girl was talking about boasting in your weaknesses, how God can make what something seems small seem huge. Let's just put it this way. If you're playing a basketball, these aren't trick questions. Just answer what first comes to mind. If you're having a basketball team and you had to pick me or Pastor Paul, who would you pick? Pastor Paul, right? I'd pick Pastor Paul over me. If you were to pick an army of 32,000 or 300, what would you pick? 32,000. If you were to give them guns or knives, what would you give them? Exactly. If you were to pick one champion to go out and defend you, would you pick David or Goliath? The only reason you guys say that is because you know the story in reverse. Joshua, can I get my first point? Like I said, you guys already know the story. That's why you're able to say that. And the best thing is that if you're in the Word of God every day and you're reading your Bible, and like Audrey said, you're speaking life over yourself, you know your story in reverse. You know you're going to win. Everyone, look at your neighbor. Say, I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
Say, I'm going to win. Amen. We just don't know exactly how we're going to win yet.
That's good, brother. Come on.
Amen. Let me get my first scripture, please. I love scripture. Such a helpful thing in life. Ecclesiastes 12:1, don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your creator. I remember when Pastor Paul used this, and then Isaac used this. It's excitement of your youth, kind of like it's easier to be 5 years old than it is to be 13-year-old. It's easier to be 13 than to be 30. So right now, you guys, most of you guys are in high school. I don't know your lives. I'm not going to say they're easy because they're obviously not. Everyone's dealing with something, but you guys don't have bills to pay. You guys don't have rent. You guys really don't have like anyone else like depending on you, like a father, like a son has, like a father has a son depending on him, or how Miranda kind of relies on me to be her rock. Miranda's my wife, by the way. Love her. So now that things aren't necessarily easy, but they're kind of, it's a valley where you have time to start preparing yourself. Joel said preparation. And you start preparing yourself for some trials to come. The Bible says, says something about like overwhelming sorrows or something really heavy about like that. But then right after that, it says true joy. You wouldn't realize how happy you are if you didn't know how sadness feels. It's kind of like God lets things happen so he can be glorified on the flip side. Amen? Next scripture, por favor. I am bilingual. Just kidding. Pastor Drew. Honor him in your youth before you grow old. Life is not pleasant anymore. That's crazy. I loved what Isaac said. He said, no one wants to grow up to be sad. I remember I kind of got smart in high school. Well, not smart. I got smart alecky in high school because I was tired of the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's like, I don't know. I'm 13. I'm 15. I'm 16. And so I just started telling people, I'm going to be happy. And you know what I am? I'm happy. Amen. Look at your neighbor, say, I'm happy. Woo! Let me get Romans 8:28 up there. You.
Yeah.
We know that God causes everything to work together for our good of those who love God. And the crazy thing is that a lot of people say that life isn't fair. It's not. Especially when you believe in God, because it's in favor for you. Amen?
Oh, come on.
Amen.
Say that.
You guys are just, I love you guys. Give yourselves a round of applause. Yeah. Amen. So how do you think that we're going to, and I'll call it according to the purpose for them. Oh, amen. Thank you, Josh. So how do you think we're going to get, how do you think you fall in love with God? How do you think you you kind of say, hey, God, I'm right here. How do I get your favor? You just walk in obedience. You do his will. Yeah. Amen. You just live in his word. Read his word every day. Put it into you. Live it. There's a scripture that says, chisel the word into your heart. And chiseling isn't a process like it is a pen or a pencil where you just write. Chiseling is a tedious every day. Every day it gets etched into your heart. And you know what? You can if a paper gets wet, the ink is gonna get blotched. If you have an eraser, if you take an eraser to something that was written with lead or pencil, it's gonna get erased. You cannot erase something that's been etched into your heart, amen. So when you etch into the Word of God, it doesn't matter what anyone says. It doesn't matter what anything looks like, because you know the Word. You know that you're walking by faith and not by sight. You're saying, go ahead, world. Bring whatever you got at me. Bring your best, because my God already conquered it. Amen? Amen. Let me get my second point, please. Like I said, baby steps. The etching? It's baby steps. Do you think Usain Bolt was able to run as fast as he could as a toddler? No, he started with baby steps. Do you think Pastor Drew was able to give the most, like, the powerful sermons that he gives today at the age of 9? It was baby steps. I have a demonstration for you. Yeah. Where'd Joaquin go? Woo! Sorry, I help in kids ministry as a puppet, and so it kind of slips out every now and then. You ever know what this is? Amen. Now watch this. I'm going to put the mic down, so everyone just be quiet for a second. Except me. Now, baby steps symbolizing how... Amen. So baby steps symbolizing how you're going to approach life. Am I going to start practicing now? Am I ready?
Peter right there.
I love Peter. So let me ask you guys this. Which marshmallow goes farther? I got the one person that wasn't looking.
That's good, bro.
So.
They're all looking now.
So now I got your attention, huh? Marshmallows. Oh, they're not rocks. Don't worry.
You want more of you? You want me to go off this side?
Oh, that'd be great. Okay, so. Your baby steps symbolizing each stretch. I go to church every Sunday, Wednesday. I read my Bible every day. Which Christian is going to go farther? The one that just comes to church or the one that lives it out?
Oh!
Amen. Which Christian is going to go farther? The one that wallows in his despairs?
Oh, good.
Or the one that says, who's going to let God stretch you today? Amen. Who's going to let God stretch you? God, stretch me, please, so you can launch me as far as you can. Good catch. Thank you, Pastor Paul. Everyone give a hand to Pastor Paul. Amen. Now, how are we going to stretch? How are we going to let God stretch us? Let me get Luke 16:10. Everyone, move your elbows a little bit. Say, I'm going to need some room. Look at your neighbor. I might need some room right now. Pastor Paul might have to get up and stand over here for a second. Luke 16:10. If you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large things. I might have given it away, but today's sermon's about David and Goliath. I feel like David and Goliath is kind of a song that we've heard a lot. It's a great song. It's an amazing song, but like I don't know about you guys, but I can overplay a song like to the point where I'm annoyed with it. It used to be like my favorite song a week ago. But then you just overplay it, right? Let me remind you, like, listen to this song and listen to something that you didn't catch before. Listen to one of the lyrics that you didn't realize was there. This sermon is about David not slaying Goliath with one stone, but he started swinging it. Way back here, before he even knew Goliath was a thing, he started swinging it. So let me stop there before I get ahead of myself. Let me get if you're dishonest in little things, you'll be. Amen. God isn't gonna bless you. No, that spoke to me right now. God isn't gonna bless me with promotions. He's not gonna bless you guys with your new skateboards. Have you ever asked your dad or your parents for like a puppy or something, and they got you something smaller like a hamster, and then the hamster. There's a. Alicia, should I tell them about the bunny? Alicia had a rabbit at a. My dad thought it was a dwarf rabbit. He thought he got it at some swap meet, and it turned out to be this ginormous, like, giant bunny. It turned out to be this huge thing that was, like, running around the house, like, causing havoc. And, like, usually bunny poops are kind of cute, but these ones were, like, marbles, man. So if God gives you something small, if he gives you trash ministry, or if he gives you cleaning the toilet ministry. Miranda, how long did you clean toilets? 2 years?
Yeah.
Where's Joel? Joel, how long have you been an intern?
5 years.
5 years? See, these are years and years devoted, guys. We live in such an Instagram society. Everybody wants the likes. Everybody wants the filters and what comes from it. But no one wants to put in the work. No one wants to. Everybody wants to have the hashtag relationship goals, but no one wants to put the hashtag relationship work into it. Amen? Damn. The only reason, I'm going to say that again, because you guys asked for it, and like I liked it. God, I don't know about Joel and Shayla, but God speaks to me while I'm up here. People want the relationship goals. They want the old couple holding hands. But nobody wants to put in the work. Nobody wants to sit there and argue it out. No one wants to sit there and say, loving is a feeling. No one wants to sit there and say, I'm committed to you. This is it. You're mine and I'm yours. Amen? Amen. Let me get 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 7, 37. David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose again, I struck it. I caught it by the beard and killed it. I struck it and killed it. That means that, okay, watch this. Who wants to volunteer? I have a slingshot and a marshmallow. Who wants to volunteer? Let me get Christian. Okay, now watch this. Let me see. Okay, Christian, your job is to be over here. This is my space. This is my heart. We like to here at Hope. We like to talk about protecting our hearts from things that can corrupt it. Bad company corrupts good morals. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So if we're not diligently protecting ourselves, this is what happens, Christian. You're gonna come in. You're gonna break into my house, and then Like, if you can smack me in the back of the head, you win. Okay? No, it's just take a step back. No, that's it. I wasn't paying attention. When the enemy came and said, Joaquin, you have cancer. The first time, I didn't know God.
Oh, come on.
The second time he comes in and he says, you have cancer again. And I was like, no, I don't. I have the answer. Amen?
Oh, yeah.
So, I watched it. Chris, is that again?
Damn.
Go ahead, sit down. See how ready that is? See the difference that it makes? The difference that it makes to be ready? To have the word etched into your heart so that the enemy comes like a roaring lion? Notice how the Bible says like a roaring lion. He's not a lion. Our Savior is the lion and the lamb, amen?
That's right.
So he pretends to be these things. He tries to distract us with little idols here and there. He says, hey, that girl said you're cute. Ooh, that boy liked your dress. Oh, that band's really good. It doesn't matter if they cuss or if they say bad words or if they talk about being sad and emotional all the time. They're playing to you. No, now that, be ready. This is the time to start getting ready, guys, is when, I think the Holy Spirit just said, like, Deborah, you're doing a good job as a mom. That your boy Ezra is just like such a blessing to all of us. He runs around, just lightens up the day. And do you think Deborah became such a good mom because she kind of just fed Ezra and then let him be on his own? No, she played with him. She invested into him. She spent time with him. That's why she's a good mom. The way you're going to be a good son or daughter of God is by spending time with him and investing to him, listening to him. Dad, I'm right here. Pick me up, please. Amen? Amen. Let me get a number C on my board, please. Number C. I skipped A and B, I'm sorry. But we gotta walk boldly, guys. We're gonna start sowing seeds right now. We're gonna start spending time with God. We're gonna start going in our word so that when things come at us, we get to walk boldly. Go ahead, diagnose me with cancer. I don't care. I already got it beat. Go ahead.
Yeah, come on.
Go ahead, tell me I'm depressed. I already got it beat. Go ahead, tell me I'm bad at math. I'm going to go get a 98%. Amen?
Yeah. Woo! Come on.
Amen. So we got to walk boldly. I mean, if we think, like, think about how David walked out into this battlefield. It's like little kid. He was the youngest of eight brothers, and his three oldest brothers were able to go to war. So that means there was There was four brothers in between him. That means that the age gap between him and being even able to go to war was so astronomically not even feasible. That's like watching like a toddler with a baby bottle walk into a bar. It's like, he's not supposed to be here. That's how everybody was when David walks into the scene. Hey, that kid is not supposed to be here. Where's this binky? Where's this rattle? And he walks out with one of these. I mean, imagine Goliath up here. You send me boy? What am I, dog? You send me stick? And then, amen? And so I started thinking, I was like, man, what would Goliath say to me personally? And I started tripping out on it. And then I remember my boss used to call me, he used to ask me, what are the things holding my hands to my body? Because they're toothpicks. And I was like, oh, I was called a stick before. But when they needed somebody, when they dropped one of their like $800 scanner phones behind a pallet that no one could reach, who was the one that reached it? Amen, skinny guy McGee Zach. Right? Thank you, Christian. So I thought, I was like, maybe I should ask some of the leaders around here. what Goliath would say to them personally. And I went up to Pastor Drew, and more or less he said for a long time I had struggled with doubt that I was going to have a big congregation. And I was like, man, like, how long was it, Pastor Paul, before we started like seeing numbers in Hope Community? Or we, I mean, you guys, I wasn't even here yet. I was here in spirit. You guys had me here. It was a long time. Pastor Drew talks about it a lot, coming out of this office and seeing like 12 people in service. There's more than that right now, amen? Amen. So you're never going to have numbers. It's been 1 year. It's been 2 years. It's been 3 years. That's how they come at you. They come at you with what's right in front of you. And then watch this. Watch how I'm not going to see what's in front of me. Amen. Hey, God, I see you. Oh, what's up? You just want me to go here? Want me to go here? I don't even know what's in front of me now. Right? Oh, man, I am all of a sudden in all these little blessings. Amen? Amen. I asked Pastor Paul, and he said, I feel like, but I gave him the rundown. I was like, okay, Pastor Paul, like, here's a sermon I'm preparing. What would Goliath say to you? And he said, kind of like what Pastor Drew was talking about. He said, Pastor Paul has a heart for evangelizing. So he said, no one's going to come here. Nobody cares about God anymore. Have you seen the marches going on in the streets? Have you seen what the media portrays? No one cares about God anymore, right? But then Pastor Paul, because he knows his word, I remember when I thought, what was Goliath going to say to me? For a while, like, I struggled with the doubt in mine and Miranda's relationship, not because anything about Miranda, but because of what like my past was. I bounced around from girlfriend to girlfriend in high school. And like it messed up our relationship early on, but we got over it. And then all of a sudden I started thinking, I was like, man, you know what? I've sowed too many seeds into mine and Miranda's relationship for it to ever start to falter. When we were way back here, we didn't know Goliath yet. We didn't understand the struggles of relationship. We, as Christians, you shouldn't be dating unless you're like kind of looking to get married. It's kind of like if you were going to ride a bus. If you had no intention of riding a bus, would you ever sit at a bus stop? Right? If you had no money, would you go to a grocery store? It'd be a waste of time. So me and Miranda kind of had intentions of getting married, but you don't want to rush into things. So we're way back here. We didn't realize that we were going to get married. And the second we find, when we admit we have feelings to each other, we go to Pastor Drew. We start pulling. We start stretching. We go to Pastor Drew. He says, stay friends for a while. So staying friends for a while strengthened our relationship, started stretching us. And then she says, I want to do another year of the internship. I'm like, oh, man. Do you guys want to know a funny story? My Miranda was way out of my league. She still is to this day. And no, I had just started coming to church. She'd been coming to church for like 4 years. There was like other reasons why like she shouldn't date me, but she kind of saw past all those. She saw past my ugly. And so she has 3 years left in the internship at the church, and I'm like, you know what? I'll wait for her to be done with that, and then I'll go to Pastor Drew. Hey, I kind of like Miranda, can I ask her on a date? He'll say yes, because Pastor Drew is cool. And then that will be so gentlemanlike. She will have to say yes to me. She will have to go at least on one date with me. We couldn't wait. Well, we waited for the dates, but we couldn't wait to let each other know that we liked each other. She asked me, she's like, do you have something to tell me? I was like, oh, I like you. So we started stretching right there. Oh, we start stretching right there. And then the extra year of the internship, who knows? Maybe her like saying yes to God stretched me. Her saying yes, God, make me an intern. Your will before mine launched us. Is that what made us go? Maybe that extra year in the internship strengthened her enough to be able to have a successful relationship. You don't know that, but I'm glad she did it. That was probably the best decision that either of us made. So then the internship ends, and we start like looking at it towards, wow, I want to marry you. And then we start having marriage counseling. And then we go to couples counseling. And these are the baby steps that launch you guys. Come on, amen? Amen. Who's ready to take some baby steps? Yeah? Amen. How much time do I got? 11 after 8. Keep going, brother. Amen. I'll start wrapping it up. But let me get to some practicals that you guys can do. David was always submitted to under authority. No matter who it was, he was submitted to him. His brothers were kind of jerky to them. He was the runt of the litter. So when Saul has a troubling spirit come onto him, he says, go get me Jesse's son. So he comes and he plays a harp. Huh? Jesse's son. He comes and he plays a harp for Saul, being a servant to Saul. And then he leaves. And then he goes and checks on his dad. Saul liked his harp playing so much that he kept him in the kingdom, wherever he was. And then he sends him back to go check on his dad. And his dad's like, here, take these cheese and these something else. Cheese and bread. Take these cheese and bread to your brothers. And that's when he realized, that's when he took the cheese and bread. He left it with the guy in charge of all the food, and then he went to say hi to his brothers. And that's when he heard Goliath talking about that. Yeah. Guys, listen to your parents. Unless they're telling you something that isn't of the will of God, they want the best intentions for you. Amen? So take these baby steps towards it, guys. Read your Bibles every day. I'm saying it. I'm kind of beating it into your guys' head. But think of it this way. Do you think David would have beat Goliath? Do you think David would have even thought of walking onto that battlefield if he wasn't living in God's word every day? If he wasn't over here killing lions and killing bears? No, he wouldn't even have thought of going up since this 9-foot-tall Goliath of a man. It was because he sowed into the little things. I'm only up here today because I did trash ministry. I did puppet ministry. You guys want to hear my puppet voice?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
There's Christian. He's on the puppet team. I am Chief the Dog. I tip my hat to you. I'm only up here because I've sowed in the little things. Me and Miranda have a beautiful, successful relationship at the age of 23 and 22. Because that shouldn't happen. That's honestly one of the biggest testimonies I have with you. I love you. That's honestly like one of the biggest testimonies I have. People see my ring at work. Like, how old are you? 23. You're so young. You shouldn't have that. Worship team, can I get you guys up, please? And the things that you shouldn't have when you walk with God, you get.
Oh,
amen.
That's a good one, brother.
Thank you. Just stay practical, guys. It's not complicated. It's not hard. Who's ready? Pastor Paul, can you grab the podium? Who's ready to get up and start taking baby steps? When you guys come up here and you worship, that's a baby step. You're learning how to jump before you can run. You're learning how to walk so you can learn how to run. You're learning how to stretch yourself so you can kill giants, amen?